Hello and welcome to Rapid Access Radio, presented by ProTech Central, Episode 5 for March 2025. Hi, I'm Sean Mullen, your host. Today's guest is Dave Pelton, Vice President and Technical Director for the National Association of Fire Equipment Distributors. This runs about 21 minutes. Friends, today we're talking with a longtime industry expert and frankly a really good friend in the industry, Dave Pelton, who is the technical director for the National Association of Fire Equipment Distributors. Dave has had many different roles in the fire industry over the years, manufacturing and marketing, but I really think he's found his sweet spot when he stepped into the role of technical director of NAFED. And Dave, we are so glad to welcome you to the microphones of Rapid Access Radio. So welcome.
Well, thank you, Sean, and it is a pleasure. And as you said, we've known each other for many years and consider us as friends as well as industry colleagues.
Yeah, that's what I like about our industry. So, Dave, could you share with our listeners a little bit about yourself and maybe describe your role as the technical director for NAFED?
Sure. Well, as the VP of technical for NAFED, my primary duties and responsibilities are that of technical support and advocacy for the association, working with our members. The role gets engaged in a number of facets, dealing with codes and standards consensus making. We get engaged with credentialing of technician personnel through nationally accredited certification programs. Obviously, we interface with our peers in other trade industry groups, such as the Fire Equipment Manufacturers Association, Fire Suppression Systems Association, and also interface with the manufacturers as they bring their products to market.
Interesting. So I'm just kind of curious. I know how I got in the industry, but what's your story of getting into to the career of fire protection, safety, and security?
Well, I guess I was one of those young kids that chased the local fire department on their bike, you know, when the alarm went off. Grew up in on the north side of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, that is, as there was a few Milwaukees, and lived in more of a rural area, part farming agriculture, part suburban. And we had a local volunteer department, and like many of the kids, the siren goes off and you chase the fire trucks. And from that, I guess you could say I got bit by the bug. later in life, I actually put my way through school working as a firefighter EMT. And really enjoyed that and spent probably about a total of 10 to 12 years, you know, as a paid on call firefighter at EMT. And like I said, I enjoyed that. But ultimately what it led me to was interest in the fire protection industry as a whole. And oddly enough, a lot of the equipment we utilized is one of the major brands still today. It's Ansell. Back in those days, it was still the Ansell company, and ultimately that's who I ended up going to work for.
So that's where our paths first crossed.
That is correct. That is correct.
Many, many moons ago.
Yes, many decades. Actually, Sean, I hate to say it, it's been four decades. It's been more than four decades.
Yeah. Well, they're all good. They're all good.
They're all there. You certainly, I'll certainly agree with that. So
you make the reference over the span of time. I'm just kind of curious from your position, and you certainly see a much broader perspective over the entirety of the industry, but how do you think that the fire protection and the safety industry has evolved over these past few decades?
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring that up because I kind of look at it as, you know, obviously there are passive products, there are active products. Right. You and I mm-hmm. are on the active side right. Of that pyramid. You know, despite many products still being very simple, basic products like portable fire extinguishers or initially sure. some of the fixed suppression systems out there were electrical, electrical, mechanical. Today, it's really smart systems. You know,
yeah.
I think we all saw as we at least folks like you and I, as we came up through the industry, some of the basic electronics, you know, going back a decade or two. But if you really look at the past decade, there's just been an explosive, yes. Rapid development of the electronic side, obviously more focused at fire alarm, but certainly mm-hmm, those mm-hmm. those technologies also go into releasing panels. And so sure. that's where I really see, you know, where we've advanced there when it comes to the suppression side.
Well, I think, you know, too, that as these advances have come up, we also kind of have a dual challenge in our industry because eventually the codes and standards kind of have to catch up to that technology, right? I mean, technology always precedes the codes. And I know that. You know, a lot of times, and you'll appreciate this phrase that, you know, we're both kind of belt and suspenders kind of guys. Let's double, triple check, right? And
yes.
I think that, you know, with some of these rapid developments, do you think that the process of developing responsive codes to these new technologies is going to get any quicker? Or are we going to stay kind of in that same old course of every 3 years updating the standards?
Well, you know, whether it's the International Code Council, the ICC, or National Fire Protection Association, NFPA, I mean, each of those organizations have an adopted process, right? As, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, right. 3 to 5, you know, years for, say, like the NFPA. But I think the broader challenge is at the local level. You know, states often are at 5 and 7 year adoption cycles or even mm-hmm. potentially longer. And then you have the, you know, the I'll call it the political effect, but it's really, you know, business regulation oversight versus, you know, benefit. Right.
Right.
And, yeah. and there are certainly, certain industries that feel maybe they're overregulated, others that, you know, aren't regulated at all. But you know, as you look at the codes and standards adoption process, that's really the challenge in keeping that leash, what I'm going to say, short. That is the time frame mm-hmm. shorter so that we're not dealing with adopted codes that are, call it, you know, three years, 5 years, 7 years back.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, today when I look at some of the key standards, key NFPA mm-hmm. standards, they are, you know, 22, 23, 24, and pending now 2025 editions. Yet there are jurisdictions that are, you know, back on early 2020 editions yeah. or mid yeah. 2020 calendar year 20 or mid 2000, I'm sorry, year right, editions. Right. And that doesn't help. Now the positive side of that is that organizations like yours and NAFED's members were always designing to the most current edition yes. of the mm-hmm. standard, or mm-hmm. should I say referencing the most current edition right. of the standard, whether we're designing a system, installing it, laying it out, or whether inspecting, testing, and maintaining it through our service mm-hmm. practices. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think that will always be one of the bigger challenges that the industry faces.
Sure. So as you mentioned in your role as technical director, you are essentially a resource for your for the association's members. What are more some of the more common questions or challenges that they bring to you to ask your advice on?
Certainly codes and standards related.
Sure.
Often, you know, they may have a risk, a hazard that they have in their view, in terms of reading code requirements, have a solution in their mind, and they're looking to do a sanity check against that. Or perhaps they haven't come up across this particular hazard. Maybe it's a combustible metal hazard, or perhaps more common today, we find ourselves with lithium ion batteries you know, looking for a solution like that, you know, just as maybe a common example. So sometimes they may not have any experience in that area, and so they reach out, and we have a conversation similar to what we're having here. And we talk about the risk and how best to protect that risk within the confines of the codes and standards.
Yeah. And it's always good to bounce ideas off of folks who've been around the horn a couple times, like yourself. I know you and I have had some great conversations thoughtful ideas on how best to keep people safe and property protected. I'm just kind of curious, Dave. I know you have a lot on your plate, but how do you stay up to date with these latest developments, either in the industry or in research or technology? I mean, do you set aside specific time just to go hang out and find out what's going on? Or do people call up and say, let's call Dave Pelton and make sure he knows?
Very, very much so. Obviously, you know, stay connected with my network, which obviously took many years to build and develop, but certainly your network is one. You know, reading. I mean, whether it's basic industry publications or just various, you know, blogs, podcasts, etc. Obviously, there's that element. And then within NAFED, we have what we call our internal committees. We have a portables committee. Have a pre-engineered systems committee, and while those committees are just a few members, they're small, they give me an opportunity to liaise with them. And sure. And then more broadly, it's really our engagement within the advocacy side, going back to groups like, you know, FEMA and FSSA and others. But that then kind of holistically connects back into the codes and standards consensus making process. And NAFED participates in about 30, 33 different codes and standards. So that's where really the rubber is hitting the road, you know, to speak, in terms of keeping abreast of those latest developments and research.
So you mentioned part of your role is advocacy, obviously. What kind of strategies is NAFED employing to help promote and educate the public about fire safety?
Well, that's really, it's working with our partners. I mean, when we look at it, you know, take an organization like yours, you know, you're directly connected to that local market, just as they are. And while those influences in your area, you know, may know of, say, NAFED, right? It's really, you're probably the most, you know, common face to them. So, you know, first and foremost, thank you for your partnership with NAFED. But really how we continue to educate the public is through our members and obviously through our engagement and our activities. So, you know, working with our local members in their local markets, through our annual conferences that we have, where we're able to connect back with not only our members, but industry and then local influences, whether those are, you know, fire authorities, building code authorities, insurance authorities, and really doing so on a collaborative basis. So it's not just NAFED members that are presenting, say, at a conference. We have credible subject matter experts,
yes,
you know, that are talking about various topics.
Interesting, interesting. So, you know, moving forward, what kind of trends do you predict will shape our fire protection and security industry going forward?
That's always a tough one, Sean. You know, when you look at it, you know, if someone were to say, "Hey, we're lithium mine," you know, and I'll just use that as an example, just because it's so prevalent, you know, in our industry currently. But I mean, if someone would have said, "Hey, battery safety," right? 20 years ago, or even 10 years ago, people I think would have looked at us and, you know, kind of gone, battery's a battery. Yeah. Well, now this is a different type of battery. So it's those new emerging hazards, those new emerging risks that come as a result of, you know, new manufacturing or advanced manufacturing processes. I mean, if you think about even something like, you know, metals, you know, where metals had been used, say, you know, two decades ago, and you look at today, I mean, there's more exotic metals out there today than there were, you know, 20, 30 years ago.
Right.
I mean, when we think of, you know, basic metals, you know, lithium, you know, magnesium, titanium, zirconium. I mean, there's a whole list of exotic metals like neodymium that, you know, someone might scratch and go, well, what is that or where is that used? Well, that's utilized in magnet manufacturing, right?
Right.
But it's not top of mind. So in terms of predicting, you know, where that future or what's going to shape the future of the fire protection or security industry, it's really going to come from our advancement in our manufacturing processes and our advancement of our technologies that are, you know, helping us as a global society, as a global business center, you know, that is with our manufacturing base to always, you know, be looking out for what is that next risk, that next hazard that may come about. And then ultimately finding a solution for that.
Solution, right. Yeah, innovating. Friends, we're visiting with the Vice President of Technical Services for the National Association of Fire Equipment Distributors, Dave Pelton. And we've been having a wonderful conversation given his career and his awareness in the industry. So, Dave, as we kind of start to wrap things up here on Rapid Access Radio presented by ProTech Central, I'd just like to ask you to maybe look back and say, what's maybe more one of the most fulfilling moments of your career?
Well, I think there's a couple of things, Sean. You know, first and foremost, I've been very, very fortunate in that when it came to, you know, my career, I was fortunate enough to have mentors. And I know that may sound cliche-ish in today's society, right, with today's young kids and how about they go about, you know, starting their business careers and things. But you know, I was blessed with some great mentors. But really, when I look back, as you said, my career has been very diverse. My initial background was sales. I was one of those sales guys that kept saying, hey, you're giving me a number back to the factory to make. I need more tools in my toolkit. So then they go, hey, you know, you're pretty good at this marketing stuff and product management. Why don't you come and do that? And so I did that. And ultimately, throughout my career, you know, I ended up in some senior, you know, roles in both sales, marketing, business development, product management. And I look at my current time now is giving back. So to me, that's very fulfilling. You know, my role here with NAFED, I was fortunate enough, like I said, through those mentors, through those different manufacturers that I've had an opportunity to work for and work with and be part of introducing some great products over the decades to bring those products to fruition and commercialization, really look at the opportunity of now giving back, you know. And if we think about it, every generation should give something back, because when I look at when I look at the young talent out there today, it's like, okay, where are they picking up this information? and to be honest, I think, as you know, there's gaps out there. Yeah. You know, there are definitely gaps out there that need to be filled. So,
Friends, we've been visiting with Dave Pelton, Technical Director for the National Association of Fire Equipment Distributors. Dave, thank you so much for your time today. It's always good to visit with you. I always come away with a renewed emphasis on doing the right things for fire protection when I talk to you, because you're just a wealth of information and you convey it so well. So thank you again, Dave, for joining us here on Rapid Access Radio.
Sean, thank you for the opportunity again. And as always, a pleasure, my friend, to catch up, and have yourself a wonderful day and wonderful weekend.
Thanks, Dave. Be well. Thank you for listening today. Plan to join us again when our guest will be Bill Politz of Politz Strategies and their mission to empower businesses with expert guidance on fire protection regulations, including PFAS, halons, HFCs, and more, by transforming compliance challenges into opportunities for profitability and sustainability.